Hey, you're listening to the Smoked Meat Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Pittman. Smoked Meat's brought to you by Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Great place to go. Every time you go, you're going to feel like family. There's Jeremy and the gang. Just make it happen. So many great people in there. You know, you can go in and you can make new friends, or you can just hang out with your old ones. But either way, remember, I goes to Joe's and so should you. That's Joe's Underground at the corner of 8th and Broad in Augusta, Georgia, in the bottom of the Lamar Building. Girls and boys, today my guest is Mr. Rodney Hicks. Rodney is such an awesome guy. He has just recently starred in the movie Mighty Oak. He is a playwright. He is a Broadway actor. He is just a man of so many talents that it was an honor and privilege to make friends with him and get to talk to him. Y'all just kick back and listen and enjoy. Here we go. We're going to kick this beast off on Smoked Meat. Hey, so how you doing today, Rodney?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate that.
Hey, anytime, man. Anytime. I've been looking forward to this.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I told you a while ago, I actually got to finally watch Mighty Oak yesterday and this morning.
And how'd you like it?
Oh, dude, I love it. I'm actually going to sit with my family tonight and watch it.
Oh, that means a lot. I know we all appreciate that very much. Yeah,
it's funny. It's not just a music movie. It's not just a, you know, here's this part of it. It's the whole thing.
There's a lot there.
Yeah. I mean, everything meshes so great in this film. I love it.
Thank you.
But yeah, you know, how did you get mixed? Well, I hate to say mixed up, you know, but how did you get involved with this?
Yes, I am actually I'm friends with everyone now, but I am friends with the one of the executive producers, mm-hmm. Frank Reagan, and 2 years ago he gave me a call and said, "Hey, we're about to cast this movie, and there's a role that we think you'd be really great in. And would you want to be contacted by the casting and put yourself on tape?" And I did. The scene that I put on tape was the scene with Janelle Parrish and I in the bar, mm-hmm. Where I talk about the dead corgi. Mm-hmm. And that's the scene that I put on tape. And I found out on New Year's Eve that I booked the role. Yeah.
Nice. That's a good way to end the year and start one.
Oh, it definitely was. It definitely was. Yes.
Yeah, I like that scene with the corgi because, you know, I believe in that kind of stuff.
I do too, actually. Yeah. I do too. I mean, in a lot of varying ways. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You know, we've got two cardinals that come and they'll sit on our back porch and just hang out. I was raised to believe, you know, a cardinal is an angel or somebody that's passed coming to check on you.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'm the most superstitious person you'll ever meet.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. You know, that is all right.
But, oh, yeah. But, you know, talking to Gianna a while ago, you know, I interviewed her. And
I love her.
No, mm-hmm. She was so much fun. I felt like I was about 15 again.
Being on set with her was just so great. And to play her dad was just really great. Her and Tommy, both the young people in our film, they were just so just pros. They came in just ready, prepared, and open, and not show busy. You know, they were just kids, yeah. And it was infectious because we all were there to have fun and to do what we love. So it was really beautiful. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, I imagine being on set with her would be like being on set with the Tasmanian devil. This kid does not sit still, does she?
You know, it's funny because she's excellent. Like, she literally, I mean, it's funny because the kids were almost more professional than we were, you know? I mean, because they just were there and fully present, you know? We all were, of course, but you know, when you get grown-ups around, we just start laughing and joking about everything.
Yeah.
And it was the young people who were, then we realized, oh gosh, they're watching. So let's make sure that we're on our P's and Q's and know our lines as well. Yeah. But it was just really a love fest. Everyone really respected and helped to guide everyone else. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I asked her because, you know, watching it and hearing Tommy play the guitar, Asked her, is that really him playing? And she said,
yeah, he's brilliant.
This kid is
really a prodigy.
Beast, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he can sing, too. They both can sing, actually.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
You know, I was picking on her. I said, you know, by the time you were, you know, your age, you've been to the state championships and gymnastics twice.
She's done so much in her young life.
I said, when I was your age, I had played with sticks. That's about it, you know. I played with a stick. I played with rocks. We had an Atari.
Ah, exactly. Yeah. We had an Atari, too, yeah.
Yeah. But no, you know, and I imagine it would be just so awesome being in such a cast, because everybody, you know, usually I hate to say this, you know, the way it'll sound, but it's all said with love is, you know, usually in any movie you have one or two people who you're kind of like, okay, they're almost glorified background or whatever. They're here for the story. But this one, man, there is nobody like that in this movie. Everybody's got such an important part. And everybody does just, they all bring it.
We're grateful for that. Thank you. Yeah. You know, our table read was so special. It was so special. You know, it was the table read is the first time that everyone reads the script at the same time. And it was so moving. And everyone was so invested in there. And we just knew this is going to be really special. And, you know, Paramount bought it, and now it's, you know, available on streaming platforms, Apple TV, Amazon, and other streaming platforms. And it's a true honor. It really is, especially in the times that we're in now, you know, to have a movie like this that is filled with kindness, filled with redemption, filled with love, and just people caring for other people.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny, you know, now, you know, it's funny. I would love to break into movies. So I may shoot myself in the foot for this, but, you know, a lot of Hollywood and everything now is, okay, let's remake this, or let's just do this again. Or
yes.
And to see something with I don't want to say a new story, but yeah, a new story at the same time, you know, and something that has some value and redemption. And I mean, even a couple of the twists, I'm like, oh, didn't see that one coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's you know, I'm so proud to have been a part of that movie.
Yeah.
And really, and to get to know everyone and to call everyone friends, you know, after, and not just, oh, yeah, I did that movie with these people, you know.
Yeah.
It's they remain and will remain a very special part of my life.
Yeah, and that's how I like to do this show, you know. You know, if you listen to some of the older ones, it's almost the radio voice going, so tell me about your newest project. And that's canned, and I can't do that. I hate doing it. I like to do it like this, where we're just talking.
You do you. Yeah.
And I'm not doing an interview. I'm making a friend. And
that's true.
I still talk to a lot of the people that I have interviewed in the past because of that.
Well, that I like that. That's beautiful.
And I'll go on ahead and say it now. When you come to Atlanta, you are getting fed.
Thank you. I have family in Atlanta, so that is a good thing. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
But, you know, I know you've done a boatload in the theater.
Yes. My last Broadway show was Come From Away, the international hit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I originated the role of Bob in that, and I'm just damn proud of it, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's, I imagine it was weird going from stage to screen, which, I mean, you've done a lot on screen, too, just...
Oh, yes,
so different.
It is, and, you know, I've been in this industry for, oh my gosh, over 26 years, and so I've been fortunate to be able to have done all the mediums, but in that span of time, this is actually the first film that has actually come out. My first film I did was in 98, an indie film called Django, and it never came out. And, you know, we spent about 3 weeks shooting that film, and I did a bunch of the voiceovers. It was my first lead in the film, and it never came out. And so that was disheartening. And then to have this film come out really... It was kind of sentimental for me, you know, for many, many reasons, to be, you know, 46 years old and I feel it's like a new beginning in my career, a second life, a second phase. Mm-hmm. And so it feels really good to have this movie come out in 2020, actually.
Yeah. Finally, something good came out of this year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I'm waiting on Sharknado to hit. That's my guess for the next thing. Sharknado.
Okay. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Just a tornado full of sharks. I'm waiting on it.
Oh, geez. Something, you know, but I'm just breathing and staying to my meditation practice and just really, really, really balancing, staying fully present in the world, but also keeping my own personal energy that I've worked so hard to attain and have so that I retain my inner peace no matter how the world is turning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an important thing. You know, I told you I'm a paramedic full time, and this is what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how I wash that day off. And it helps me to be creative because, you know, when I edit, I don't actually, anything we say or do doesn't come out of this. You know, for me, all the ums and ahs and all that, that's flavor. And it makes it real. It makes it where it's not the, okay, tell me about this.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, I put music before it, and I do my intros, and I just have little touches that I do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do videos. I've got some character videos on YouTube that I do.
Mm.
And I have so much fun with those. Do you like really spicy food or hot things?
You know, I don't. I don't. I don't. I'll eat it and then go, ooh, no, that's not for me.
I'm a pepperhead. I will eat.
Oh, geez.
I've eaten the Carolina Reaper. The hotter the better. You know, when
I couldn't do that.
I made an Amazon list when all this started. It has all the hot food challenges on it. And told everybody, okay, whoever orders something off this list, when I get it, you get to pick the character that I do. And you also get to pick what I do. That has been really interesting. To say the very least.
To say the least, right.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes.
I've got a clown character I do named Murray, and Murray is a horrible clown. Oh, he is not for kids at all. This is Murray's voice. Murray is very abrasive. And in his first video, he drank a fifth of bourbon in 10 minutes, which it was tea on the video because if I drank like Murray, I would die.
Yes. Yes.
But my friend sent me the white chocolate challenge, which was a piece of white chocolate infused with 12 of the hottest peppers in the world right now.
Oh, geez.
So he wanted me to do this as Murray reading the dirty parts of 50 Shades of Grey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I have never seen 50 Shades of Grey, so I've sit down here. I have my makeup on. I have my chocolate in front of me.
Uh-huh.
And I Google 50 Shades of Grey dirty excerpts. Okay. I click on one of them. I see paragraphs pop up. I'm like, cool. Okay, I can do these in spots. Okay, I'm fine with this. Don't even look what I'm about to read. Yeah, I should have looked what I was about to read. Holy crap. That book is rough. Oh, man. Yeah, and to read it from a male clown's point of view, he just sounded wrong saying it the way that he was doing it. It was hilarious. It was such a good video. But
I love that.
I learned to do my homework. But yeah, I love doing that kind of stuff. You know, it keeps you just creative because, man, you gotta be.
I agree with that.
And I've gotten to be on so many great shows doing this. You know, I get invited on different things. I did one a couple of weeks ago that a comedian friend of mine, Ike Avelli, he's up in New York, he did. And it was called 50 Shades of Gay Christmas in July. And I was on there for about 10 minutes, and it was so much fun. I love Ike. He is so fun. And we had Tim Moss and Wendy Stewart was on there. I can't remember who else was on it because I got a call and I had to go after my part. Mm-hmm. But we had so much fun. And just getting to do things like this, you know, that I would have never got to do before. I love. Right. And I was telling some friends of mine about it before it came on, and they said, well, aren't you worried that people will think you're gay? I'm like, I don't care. I said, funny is funny. I don't care.
Yeah.
I love Ike. I love Tim. I love everybody here. You know, it's not beautiful. About that for me. It's just, I got to be on a really cool show.
That, I love that. That's great. Yeah. That's great.
You know, I quit. It's funny, as I get older, I'm a lot less judgmental now. I've just finally figured out, you do you, I'll do me. As long as we're not hurting each other, we're good.
That's what it's about.
You know, I want everybody in the world to just come together and be, just be people. You know, don't worry about being white people, black people, yellow people, gay people, straight people, short people, tall people, fat people. You know, just be people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've seen, you know, all kind of blood in my life. You know, as a medic for 30 years, I've seen blood of every race, religion, you name it. You can take some of your blood and you put it right next to mine on this table. I will not be able to tell the two apart. And I just wish everybody would just come together and just get along.
Yeah. Like what? Yeah. I yes.
Yep. Oh, man. That's my serious part of the show for today, by the way.
Oh, no, that's okay. I'm taking it in. It's great. Yeah,
but it is heartfelt, though. One thing I'll never do on here is lie, because if I lie to somebody, they can't trust me. And I hate when people don't trust me. It bugs me.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, man, oh, man. So we talked a little bit about, tell me about Flame Broiled.
Flame Broiled is a play of mine that I wrote, and it was produced last year, last fall, at Local Theater Company in Boulder, Colorado. It is a play that is on race and culture. And it's interesting because it premiered last year, and it basically, outside of COVID, is what everything is. It's literally what's going on in our world now. Uh-huh. But it's a dramedy. You know, it's sketches. Uh-huh. And it's not a send-up per se, but it's also, think Norman Lear's All in the Family, The Jeffersons, uh-huh. and In Living Color, and Key and Peele, all of these shows rolled into one.
Oh, you hit my heart with all three of those, man.
Yeah, and so right now I'm currently adapting it into a series. Mm-hmm. So that's taking a lot of my time.
Yeah.
That's taking a lot of my time, and I'm so happy about it.
No, I think it'll be awesome. You know, now if you look at my YouTube channel and watch those videos, the only character that I knew who he was going to be was Murray.
Mm.
But the other characters, I didn't know who they were until I put on the wig or the mustache or whatever they had.
Yes.
And all of them are spur of the moment, improv, and one take.
That's fantastic. And that's great.
and I am available, and I work cheap. But
that's a good thing.
But no, I just love making people laugh, and you know, some of the characters I got a football coach. Remember back in the day when all the college football coaches had their little game day show on Sunday mornings?
Yes.
One of mine is a coach. And the thing about him is he doesn't have kids. He's never played football, but he's that football nut.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of got that South Alabama, my name's Coach Dan Graham. I do it for the kids. That kind of accent. He is so much fun. And I have Chef Rupert. Chef Rupert has got a lot of surprises. This is Chef Rupert's voice. Chef Rupert sounds kind of like Mr. Rogers, but he's a little strange. But Chef Rupert's amazing. I actually did one of the hot challenges with him. And I've got one named Wayne. Wayne is that 70s love guy. Got a big red mustache, big red hair, and wears the shirt that's open about halfway down with the chest hair poking out.
Uh-huh.
And this is his Wayne's voice, baby. Wayne's all about the love. That's right. You want to know Wayne's last name? Wayne's all you need to know, baby. Wayne is just so cool. I love doing Wayne because I'll get on a roll with him. And, yes. I mean, just like then, I was just going to say the name Wayne pretty much, but it just kept rolling out. That's so much fun.
Well, it's been great talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a great time, man. And, you know, you're welcome on here anytime.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure everybody sees Mighty Oak. And, like I say, come back whenever we get Flame Broiled going. And hopefully when all this COVID stuff gets done, we can all get together.
That would be great. The purpose is to bring people together. The purpose is to reflect back, you know, our world through the lens of comedy, through the lens of high stakes drama, and to hopefully make us not just laugh, but think and feel and want to come together.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Rodney, you have made a friend today. And I appreciate it so much, man.
Likewise.
Yep.